Let's see.
Prakrte kriyamanani.
Prakrte kriyamanani.
Gunaih karmani sarvashah.
Gunaih karmani sarvashah.
Ahankara vimudhatma.
Ahankara vimudhatma.
Kartahamiti manyate.
Kartahamiti manyate.
Prakrtehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashah. Ahankara vimudha atma, compound ahankara vimudha atma, karta aham iti manyate. Okay, and just to remind you, in the previous verse, in 26, Krishna basically said to Arjuna, those who have jnanam, who knows that those of you who know that the self is akarta, that is free of any doership, that have that clear viveka, that discrimination between the atma and the body, mind, sense organs. He says that those people should be careful not to bring about confusion, buddhibeda, to cause confusion for those people who don't have knowledge, don't have self-knowledge, don't have that viveka, that discrimination between the self and the body, mind, sense organs. And so therefore, naturally, karma sanginam are people who are attached to karma in the form of, I'm doing this action for this result so I can be happy. That's why I'm doing these things. That motivation is absolutely appropriate and natural for an ajnani. And so for the jnani to just behave as though karmas need not be done is really giving the wrong message, because if somebody takes themselves to be a karta, somebody who is a doer by nature, then to say that, oh, I should become somebody who doesn't do anything, you know, just like Krishna. So Krishna's just, or Arjuna's just sitting there. From the standpoint of that person, they should become akarta, just like Krishna is akarta. But for them, akarta means to be a non-doer. And that, what that means is me, myself, who am a karta, who am responsible for my actions and am a doer, that I, the doer, should just stop doing action. I should stop doing my rituals. I should stop doing my karma. I should stop working for anything. And so for them, the karta, the doer, the one that I am, because the ahankara is there with that doership, should become a non-doer. But you can never become a non-doer. As long as you're alive, this body, mind, sense, organs will always be doing. And so the akarta, that jnanam, that knowledge of I am akarta, is not something that I've become. It's something who I am and always have been. You also are only, with or without knowledge, the atma is akarta. So it's something to be discovered, you know. And that discovery doesn't stop the body, mind, sense organs from continuing to do, to walk, to talk, to eat, to do whatever karmas are there to be done. And so, so as not to bring about that confusion, let the jnani continue to do the appropriate dharmas for their, either their varna or their avesta. Avesta means their stage in life, and the varna means whatever their whether they're a brahmachari or a grihastha, a student, or a grihastha, a householder, or vanaprastha, there's somebody who the husband and wife have kind of retired to the forest and are living as together but as though sannyasis, or they've taken sannyasa. Each one of those has certain expectations. So let Krishna is a king and a householder and a mediator. He has so many jobs. So is Krishna, that's his dharma. He's an avatar, but in this birth, that's his dharma. So let him continue that dharma. Don't let him confuse. Why should he, now it's really applying to Arjuna, though Krishna has used himself as an example. Do your dharma. Do the dharma that you're called to do, what is appropriate for this time, for this time and stage of your life. So you do that dharma. To not do it is to send a very confusing message to the people who are living within the Vaidika fold and who are following their dharma. Because Arjuna himself is a kshatriya, and his job is to uphold the dharma of his time. That's what he's looked upon. So how can he run off? That's the idea. So keep doing with viveka. Keep doing with viveka, dharma. Keep doing your keep doing the karmas that are enjoined upon you as an inspiration for those who don't yet have this knowledge. So now Shankara says, a vidvan means the agnyaha katam karmasu sajjate iti. He says, how is it that somebody who is an avidvan, who doesn't have knowledge, who doesn't have self-knowledge, how is it that they are attached to karma? How does that work? So he says, why are they so attached to karma? So he says, prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. He says, the gunas, so then we're going to have to get into this now, the gunas and all that. We have no out because these next three verses, you know, are dealing with that. So anyway, he says, all of the karmas are kriyamanani. They are being done by the gunas of prakriti. The gunas of prakriti. So let's just look at these words. First of all, prakriti is a word for maya. And it's the maya as the material cause is called of namarupa, of the manifestation of names and forms, is called prakriti. So maya, and maya can, prakriti is maya, maya is prakriti. But we say maya and prakriti when they're in what we call the samya avastha. The samya means when everything is in equilibrium, means the whole, all three of the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, are as though in unmanifest condition. They're completely balanced with each other. So that's called the samya avastha. So this prakriti, so now it says the prakriti, but we have to remember to understand this. By the gunas of the prakriti. Okay. The gunas are the prakriti. Right? So you can't say by the gunas of the prakriti because there's nothing else in the prakriti except for those gunas. So the word guna, this is something we have to have a little bit of understanding of. The word guna actually has many different meanings. Swamiji in his commentary cites the most common ones. Guna often just means a quality of something, you know, like the book is red. Red is a guna of the book. Just a simple quality. Guna can also mean a very good quality. Like if I'm talking about a person's gunas, I can be talking about those areas where their qualities are very, very beautiful. So just like an adjective in general, or a beautiful quality. Or, so those are two very common, or the gunas refer to sattva, rajas, and tamas. The three gunas, the three strands of prakriti, or maya. So that's the third and very, very, very common. Just depends on the context. But it also, guna also has the sense of vikara. Vikara means modification. So here, we're talking about the modifications of prakriti, because the word prakriti, or maya, itself contains the three gunas. So now we're talking about the gunas of prakriti as the modifications that the prakriti goes through. Because prakriti, as the material cause of the creation, in terms of the manifestation of nama-rupa, of name and form, goes through many modifications as it comes into manifestation. So how does the sattva, rajas, and tamas actually, what happens when it manifests into like the subtle universe that we call Hiranyagarbha, or the physical universe that we call Virat? What happens to all of those gunas to create a human being? The sukshma sharira and the physical body, what are the vikaras, what are the modifications that the maya, the prakriti, goes through? So here, that's what we're going to have to go into a little bit, but just to see the verse first. So here, Krishna is saying, all these actions that are being done, right? The actions are being done by the modifications of the prakriti itself, of maya itself. And sarvashaha means in many, many different ways. The prakriti, the modifications of the prakriti are many, many and varied. And so all of these different variations and different ways of manifesting, you know, are what is responsible for all of the actions, all of the karmas that are being done. So all of the karmas that are being done are done by the gunas, by modifications of the prakriti of maya. So then he says, ahankara vibhudatma. The one whose mind is vimuda, is deluded by the ahankara, by the I notion, considers manyate, karta aham. He considers I am a karta. I am somebody who is a karta, means I am somebody who is a doer. So Shankara says in his commentary here, there's another word we have to look at. If this body, mind, sense organs is itself a vikara of the prakriti. That means your body, your mind, your sense organs, your prana. This whole, what we call karya karana sangata. I'm introducing this term now because if you listen to Swamiji's tapes, this is a term that I'll often rattle off. Karya means an effect. Karana means a cause. So karya karana sangata. This conglomerate of cause and effect, where the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, is viewed as a cause for the physical body, because the subtle body that's transmigrating is what, with all of its sanchitta karmas, is what attracts this physical body. So the subtle body is the karana, the cause, the karya is this physical body. So the combination of the two makes for this human body, right? Because I have a subtle body. And in the subtle body, if you remember, the 19 components of the subtle body, because we're going to have to remember it now as we're going to do this prakriti thing. The 19 components of the subtle body that transmigrates, right, are the four types, of the four categories of antakarna, of the mind, chitta, the memory, buddhi, the determinative thinking, the knowledge, the one that holds the knowledge and clarity, the manas, the fluctuating mind, negative emotions, it holds, is held there, and the ahankara. That's four. So these are four categories of the mind. Then there's the sense organs, the jnanendriyas, your ears, your sense of touch, your eyes, your taste, and your sense of smell. Those are five sense organs. Those are also belong to the subtle body, to the sukshma sharira. Then you have your karmendriyas, which are your speech and your hands and your feet, and your sexuality. Feed and see. Peristaltic, I mean the excretion. Okay. So those are the five karmendriyas, organs of action. And then, so that's, now we're at 10 or 14, so we've got five left. The five pranas, the vital force. So it's vital force is your circulatory system, your digestive system, your ingoing breath, your ingoing and outgoing breath, that which pushes the prana that will push things down for evacuation, that energy that pushes down. And then also udana, what pushes up, like the pushing out the soul when the body dies, and also any type of peristaltic movement. So these five, so that's 15, 19. These 19 components transmigrate. This transmigrating entity takes a physical body. Okay, this physical body that the transmigrating sukshma sharira takes is called the karana, because it's called the karya, the effect, because of my sanchitta karmas, this is the body that I get. So without the sukshma sharira, no body is going to be. I'm not going to attract any body, any physical body. Okay, so. So that being the case, he says, the one who is the mind that is confused by the ahankara is one of those categories of thought. And Shankara says that ahankara manifests in countless ways, because the ahankara is 50% correct. It is landing always when I say I am, you know, I am or I have, like I have this body, or I am this body, or I am my mind, or I am this body, mind, sense organs, conglomerate, complex. That's the ahankara, but the ahankara can identify with the body, but then it can identify with the thousands of qualities of the body. You know, I am fat, I am thin, I am a man, I am a woman, I am young, I am old. Goes on and on and on and on. Your mind, I am smart, I am stupid, I have a lot of energy with the prana. There's just literally countless. Then it'll identify with yourself in terms of all of the relationships that you have. You know, I am married, or I am single, I have a dog and I have a cat, you know. I'm doing, this is my job. I. There's thousands of I's. The I is always, the ahankara is always produced relationally in terms of what your condition is and your relationship with the world. So Shankara says that, he says exactly that. He says, the antakarana is deluded in nana vidham ways, in countless, many and varied ways by the ahankara. So here, the atma here is your mind, because the self is not deluded. So you have to remember that. This is like vibhuta atma. All of a sudden, atma has not become deluded. So that's right. Atma is often used, you know, for what is the upadhi, the mind. It can be used for the body. So it says, he says, the atma deluded by the ahankara is going to have be identified with a given upadhi. It's going to be identified with the mind, with my body, with my karmendriyas, with my organs of action, with my sense organs, with my prana, whether I'm feeling well or not, with my mind, with my emotions. So those identities, he says, when he says the ahankara vimudatma means nana vidam vividam, that vi for vimuda, muda just means deluded. Vi means vividam, means in many and varied ways. The ahankara, the atma, your mind is deluded by the ahankara and considers, because of the mind which is deluded by the ahankara, that one considers manyate. Karta aham, I am the karta. So karta, one thing in Sanskrit, this word kriya, to do, right, to do. But we use karta for anything that I am doing. So I'm not always going to say, like we use an example, sweeping. I'm not going to say, I do sweeping, right? I say, I sweep. Or I don't say, I do sleeping. You say, I sleep. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say I do whatever I do reading. I read. So this root kriya, to do, is continually changing its form. And so here, in reference to whatever the body is doing, I see, I hear, I grasp, I talk, right? You know, I breathe. That's all ahankara, you know. And that ahankara is the karta. Every time it says, I do this, or I do that, or I am this, or that, the karta has come into being. So that's important to understand. So here he says, so why is this agnya so committed, so attached to the karma? Well, it's because of the ahankara. It's because I take myself to be the doer of any action. And if I do the action, I'm the doer of the action, that means I become a being here in the creation who is doing many, many actions. And then we ask, why are we doing the actions? Well, I'm doing the actions so that I can be happy. Then the desire template immediately comes into being. We don't do something, the desire template is also vividam. The desire template is landing on anything that's shining for you that you want, right? And then you do the action, right, in order so I can be happy or to get rid of something that makes me unhappy. So for such a person for whom that karta is really real, you know, now, and who's suffering for that ajnanam, you can't tell that person, you know, don't do any actions. You know, don't do any actions. It doesn't make any sense at all. So it's what Krishna would be saying, if you tell somebody something like that, then they'll just fall apart, basically, especially if you have shraddha in that person. Be a jnani, don't do any actions. You know, what does that mean? If you take yourself to be the doer, and then I tell you, don't do, you know, then what's going to happen then? Don't do. But I'm the doer. And so Swamiji, in his commentary, kind of says a couple of paragraphs on how people can innocently be really misled. They can be misled. And so that pramana, or that teaching methodology, is important. You know, who you teach, how you teach, what you can say, what you can't say, you know, and who you can say it to, all of these things matter. It's totally different for a mumukshu. If you're teaching a mumukshu, first of all, a person is a mumukshu because they have a desire to know self-knowledge and they've come to you. So they're a mumukshu, but you are their teacher and they're ready to be taught. Even then, you're not going to say to a mumukshu, don't do any actions, until you recognize that I myself am akarta. The self is akarta. And so by your doing actions, it also will never say, the Shastra will never say, don't let the body, mind, sense organs do any actions, as though that's possible. It's simply not possible. So what does it mean? It's not, as Krishna will say, what does it mean to not do actions? It means not have binding desires, not be the karmapalahetu, not be the one who says, I am doing, karmapalahetu means the cause for the karmapala. What that means is, I am doing this action for this result. Then I become the karmapalahetu. And that's the problem, because I don't have any control over those results. So the thing is, why shouldn't I do? We all do this action so that I can have this result. Yeah, and we're all unhappy. That's why. So we're all unhappy. When your nature is ananda, you no longer need to follow this myth that I'm doing as a binding desire. I am doing this action so that I can be happy. That's binding desire. Now I am doing this action with a prasada buddhi for Ishwara, accepting all of the results of my actions as with that prasada buddhi. Why am I doing that? It's not because I want to or don't want to do actions. It's because I want to own up my own being as the very source of the ananda which I have projected onto those actions. That's why I'm doing that. You know, that's why we do this inner child work. That's why we follow all of our raga dvesha, all of our likes and dislikes down to the source of it. I want to be happy. Somehow, I think that this is making me happy. If I could just have this, or this person would go away, or this person not behave like that, then I would be happy. When you see your mind swirling around this object of unhappiness, that's perfect. That is sadhana time. It's right there. It's right there for you. Then you look at that, you follow it back, like we did in the meditation, you follow it back to what is really the raga. What is it that you really want? You check with the little ones inside. You see what's really going on there. You put words to that. And then, having really understood it, little ones understand it, you understand that exactly what's going on. Then you can bring your knowledge in. And you look at a different way to be with that raga. Let me have that raga, that's okay, but let me not have the agitation that goes with it. Let me not have the agitation that goes with it, because it's meaningless. It's all based on delusion, on vimuda. And since you're gaining this knowledge, then all of this, the self is by nature a karta. You have never not been a karta at any time. None of us have. That's our swarupa. That is our being, a karta. You've never been a doer. You will never be a doer. You are ananda. You have never at any time objectified ananda to be able to say, look at that ananda over there. Look at that love over there. You've never had that experience, and you never will. You will only have the experience of, I am happy. I am full. I am complete. And then, when there's no knowledge, the mind goes, yeah, and you made me that way. You know? Because my desire had landed on you, you fulfilled that desire, I had a big shantavritti, and I experienced myself as being happy. It's always myself as being happy. I get it confused with the shantavritti, which is something that's just another layer that we have to look at, because when you get that shantavritti, that's the shastra will call this the little lesha. Little lesha, just a little hint of the ananda that is your own self. Not that your own self is raging bliss, that doesn't mean that. It means the self that you are right now that is the most, what is most dear to you. And that's what has to be discovered in a shantavritti. You have that moment of happiness where the shantavritti just resolves into me. And then I look around thinking that desire was fulfilled and I'm happy. And so does everybody else. So that's the vimuda. That's the delusion that is generated by this kartritvam, which results in my raga dveshas, my desires, my likes and dislikes to become happy. So we have this whole thing that happens. And so now, what do they mean by these gunas? That the gunas, it is the modifications of prakriti that is causing this whole thing. Without the modifications of prakriti, we would have no problem. We'd only be Brahman, actually. So let's take a look at how these modifications of prakriti take place. I said the maya, or the prakriti, is cyclical in its manifestation. So prakriti itself, as that which is responsible for the whole creation, comes into manifestation, is there, sustained, and then resolves from beginningless time. So now, what comes into manifestation and how? This is how it goes. When the prakriti, or the maya, first manifests, it manifests as the five subtle elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. Okay? Those, and that doesn't matter. I said this the other day. It doesn't matter if you're having a dream, if you have an imagination, you know, or you're experiencing the creation. It always, the space, air, fire, water, earth are always the elements of the creation. So we've got the five elements, but the five elements, when they first manifest, they are only subtle. This is physical. This world that I perceive is physical, not subtle. The sukshma sharira is subtle. Okay. So when the creation first manifests, it's the five subtle elements. And now remember, the Prakriti or Maya is comprised of Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. So what that means is Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas are manifesting as the five elements, right? If Maya is manifesting as the five elements, we mean Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas is manifesting as the five elements. That means each element will have a Sattva aspect, a Rajas aspect, and a Tamas aspect. And so remember, the Sattva is that which manifests consciousness or reflects consciousness, or consciousness or intelligence or awareness. That's Sattva. Rajas is what's responsible for all motion, activity, energy, and prana, most we'll see. Then the tamas is what is responsible for nama-rupa. So now just imagine this tamas for a minute. If I have an imagination, all three of those are going to be there. Just an imagination. We're just talking about the subtle world right now. If I, just in my imagination, I will have the universe that's full of nama-rupa, name and form. There'll be all kinds of motion. The individuals will be moving, and the universe will be moving. The whole thing will be in motion. That's rajas. And then the individuals, so the human beings, or the living beings, right, will be walking around in that creation having awareness, which will be sattva. They will be having the prana, and energy, they will have their organs of action, they will have their sense organs, that is all sattva and rajas. Right? They're sattva, rajas. Nama-rupa, on a subtle level, is tamas. You see what I mean? So what you are, just in terms of the subtle body that comes in your subtle imagination, or when you're in the dream world, okay, or even when you're transmigrating until you take another form, you're going to be comprised of these three things. Sattva, for everything about your upadhi that enjoys consciousness, which would be your mind and your sense organs. Because my mind and sense organs are what is responsible for my gaining knowledge. So we say they are sattva. The rajas aspect is going to be all of the prana and the organs of action, being able to move my hands and feet, my digestive system, my circulatory system, you know, that peristaltic movement. This is what we call rajas. What's responsible for the energy, the activity. And tamas, on a subtle level, is what's responsible for the name and form. Okay. So on a subtle, on an individual level, this kariya karana sangata, on the karana, the cause, is going to be comprised of the sukshma sharira, of the subtle aspects of the five elements. I'll get into this in a minute. And this physical is going to be the tamasic elements of the tamasic elements, the tamasic aspect of the five elements. But this level order of reality is different than the subtle order of reality. So just to make this clear, if I have an imagination, there's nama-rupa in the imagination, right? But the nama-rupa is not something that I can perceive through my five sense organs. I can only perceive it through the five sense organs in my imagination for the character who's within the imagination. So how do we go from the subtle world to the physical world in terms of the prakriti? We say the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, go through a process of panchikarana, becoming fivefold, in order to become this physical world. All fivefold, this panchi means five, pancha, karana, panchi karana means the making fivefold of each element. So the five subtle elements called the mahabhutas go through this panchikarana. Okay? Well, we're taping this, so don't worry. Trying to listen, and I'm trying to keep it together too, so it'll be fine. Okay, okay. So we go through this panchikarana, right? That means each element, each subtle element, divides itself in half, and then of the one half, so one half stays as the element, like space stays half space, half air, etc. And then it will take 1/8 of each of the other elements. So that means one half would be made of 4/8, you know? Like say space, then the physical space would be 1/2 space, and then it would be 1/8, 1/8 air, 1/8 fire, 1/8 water, and 1/8 earth. And that's what gives the grossification. So if this is important, let me just tell you about why this is important, just give you a little pep talk here. Because in this particular model, there is something really beautiful that's accomplished. And it is that the entire creation and everything in it, including yourself, your prana, your energy, your consciousness, everything is included in this model. It's included in Maya. And the problem is, you are, because there's no self-knowledge there, everything that is really a manifestation of Maya, that really belongs to the Ishvara Upadi, to the total Ishvara Upadi, is having its own little reality, right? It takes itself, the mind, which is a product of Maya, as a prakriti, takes itself to be, you know, the body, the ahankara, right? It takes itself to be the body. It takes itself to be this particular emotion. It takes itself to be this, because why shouldn't it? You know, it's existing in an order of reality that is complete, including every aspect of itself. So as we'll see, your mind, your buddhi, the ahankara, your memories, your prana, all of your organs of action, all of your sense organs, these are all products of Maya. And it's just showing, because we have to be able to see how what you can see in the dream so easily, that every part of the dream character that you're identified with belongs to the dream, right? And so say the dream character identifies itself with consciousness. The dream character says, I am the conscious being. That's the ahankara. In the antakaran, in the mind of the dream character, that dream character, which is all Maya, with a mind that is Maya, right, is identifying itself with Maya. And the thing is, because the sattva reflects consciousness, why shouldn't it identify itself as the conscious being who's indwelling this body, who has thoughts and moods and emotions and does this and does that? Of course it should. Because it's an entity made of Maya within Maya, and you can't, that Maya entity can't look around and say, oh, you know, I'm really limitless consciousness, you see? There's no seeing there. There's no seeing limitless consciousness or non-dual consciousness. You just are that. You know, and the Maya from its own standpoint enjoys that completely. From my standpoint, I'm just non-dual consciousness. So I'm not saying, wait a minute, the non-dual consciousness can't say, wait a minute, you have a superimposition going on there. It's really me. there's no one to say that, you know? So we have to recognize this whole system so that this body, mind, sense organs can nicely belong to Ishvara. And you can see that within Ishvara, within the whole creation, it's the subject and the object, the seer and the seen, the hearer and the heard, you know, the one who grasps and what the object of grasping, the one who walks and the object of walking, all of these things, they're all taking place within Maya, because the Maya itself is basically sattva, rajas, and tamas, that takes care of the whole consciousness for all living beings and for the creation itself. Or if I look at my mind, say if I have an imagination, the whole imagination is pervaded by sattva. See that? Whole imagination is pervaded by sattva. And every being in the imagination that has a mind and sense organs enjoys sattva, enjoys consciousness, because sattva is the mind and the sense organs are made of sattva. And so even though they enjoy consciousness, doesn't mean that they are the consciousness. And that's what we have to see, you know? So this is why this this thing is important. It's something this Panchikarana and how the creation manifests is important, because you have to recognize that here in this world it is exactly the same. You know, this in the sense that what the body, mind, sense organs, the experience of consciousness in the mind, from the standpoint of the mind and from the standpoint of the sense organs, is because of sattva. And so this whole creation, you know, this whole creation is what creates this, all of this activity, and the identification with consciousness for any living being, including Ishwara and including a Mahatma, a Jnani, is absolutely natural. For a Jnani, for instance, the Jnani, from the standpoint of this body, has the ahankara, mitya ahankara, this is my body. Just imagine, you gain self-knowledge, you realize you're only non-dual Brahman, and all of a sudden this isn't your body anymore. That's not true. This is my body. These are my thoughts. These are my emotions. This is my prana. This is my energy. You know, this is my health. All of these identifications are there, because to understand this satya-mitya relationship, right? To understand that, the clay pot is great. It will take you all the way through from beginning to end. So anyway, the pot is the clay. It's not away from the clay. This body, mind, sense organs is me. When we say mitya, that is what we mean. For something to be mitya, it has no other being except for its adhishtana, the thing that it really depends on. So you will never, as long as you have these upadis, you will never not feel, these are my thoughts, these are my feelings, these are my perceptions, this is my body. Because it's true. This is you. The eyes are you. The mind is yours. It's nobody else's. But it's mitya, because it depends upon me for its being. It has no independent being. But if we say it's mitya, it's a strange relationship in that it depends upon me, but I don't depend upon it. And so though my mind says, you know, this is, you know, I am me, and then I say, yeah, absolutely, but I am not you. Or I can even say, I am you, but I'm absolutely free from you. That's why in every moment, in every experience, as long as you're living, there are two levels of reality here. And both are, both are aproksha, means they're both immediately present. Sakshat. Sakshat means immediately present. The changelessness of my being, me, which is never doing anything. I just simply am. That is immediately present. But with knowledge, with this teaching, that viveka, that discriminative knowledge, has to take place. Yeah. And so with that viveka, I recognize the freedom of myself. I recognize myself, and I recognize that myself is free. Means nothing is ever happening to me, nothing can happen to me. I am the ananda, I am the wholeness, I am the beloved, I am what I always seek, you know. And nothing can change that. That becomes something which is direct, immediate recognition. It's a recognition, it's just a recognition of a fact. And so I recognize that, and then I recognize all of the upadis, my body, my mind, my sense organs, all of the kartritvam, the doership, all of these things. I recognize all those things are enjoying me completely. I am their self. But I am completely free of them. So this is what needs to be recognized. Until I recognize that, then only half of this equation is there. And that is this body, mind, sense organs, all my actions, all my sense organs, everything, my mind, whatever I think, that is me. So you see why that's important? It's because there is no other me to look for. That is correct. They're absolutely correct. All of this, all of my perceptions and everything, my emotions, my reactions, all of them are me. Atma, which is Brahman, which is non-dual me. All of them are me. So it's absolutely correct. There's no problem that the person is having, you know, in terms of their experience. There's no greater big self to look for, nothing. It's just that there's an aviveka, a lack of discrimination between me and the body, mind, sense organs, which have to be recognized as mitya. And that becomes aparoksha, direct sakshat, direct immediate knowledge. But until that is there, until that aviveka, that lack of discrimination is there, then of course the person takes themselves to be a seer, a hearer, a doer, one who is responsible for making their way through the world, has to gain happiness from the world because they don't feel happy. You know, if you feel happy, then you don't have to gain happiness. If you feel whole and complete, I don't have to do anything to become whole and complete. I just do things because I beg to be done. But I don't have to. You know, it's the example of why would I walk out to the middle of the well when I'm standing in the floodplain? It's not going to happen, you know. And so as I gain this knowledge and my mind owns up my own being, which is free from any action just by my nature, it's akarta, okay? That's how I am. I'm not akarta from the standpoint of this body, mind, sense organs. So that's why Krishna says, don't confuse the people, because of course they think they're a doer. Let them follow Dharma, and you always be an example of Dharma. Why would you not be? Why would, even if you're a king, an Ajnani king or queen, you should be protecting the people by your behavior. But if you're Ajnani and you're a king or queen, or you have whatever, you know, sthanam is there, you should be acting for the welfare of the people. That's what's expected to you of you. Krishna says, that's what I always do. What else would I do? And if you're whole and complete, what else would you do? You know, you're not going to be acting in a way that would be hurtful to the people that depend upon you. It's not going to happen. So we're only halfway through this Panchakarana, but I'll do the next half in the next class, okay? So here, let's do this next verse.
Tattva vittu mahabaho,
guna karma vibhagayo,
guna guneshu vartante,
guna guneshu vartante, iti matva na sacchate,
tattva vittu mahabaho, guna karma vibhagayo. Gunaha guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. So the first, in 27, he's talking about the problem, the ahankara problem that the vimudatma has, the one who doesn't have self-knowledge, the agnyaha. So now he says, yaha punaha vidvan. But the vidvan, what is it like for the vidvan, the one who has knowledge? So he says, tattva vittu. But hey, mahabaho, the one who has such strength, great strength. The tattvavit, the one who knows the truth, the essence. Tattva, probably everyone's heard the word tattva, right? Tattva, tattvam, tattvam, tattva. Tattva means, tat means a pronoun, that. Tva means the essence of that. That stands for everything, so the essence of everything is tattva, right? So it's a word for truth. So the one who knows the truth of what? Guna karma vibhagayoho. He knows the truth of the different subsections, we'd say, of all of the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, how they manifest in the creation. All of the ways that the gunas manifest in the creation in terms of, how the gunas, in terms of the karya karana sangata, this body, mind, sense organs, how the three gunas are responsible for manifesting as this body, mind, sense organs, and then also the karmas. What are the different strata of the karmas and the objects of desire? So the one who understands not only the one who takes actions, but the actions of the, that you're taking, the things that you're taking the actions for, and all of the karmas and the karmendriyas, the one who understands all of these as just products of prakriti, manifestations of sattva, rajas, and tamas, the one who has clear knowledge of that, that person sees this whole creation and everything I'm doing in it, everything I'm feeling, everything I'm thinking, all activity to be very, very much like the dream. It's all just a manifestation of the prakriti. It's the gunas playing in the gunas. The gunas themselves, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, engaging in the sattva, rajas, and tamas in all of its different combinations. So the gunas are engaging in the gunas. So the prakriti is engaging in the prakriti. And so everything about you that you're identified with really is only the play of the guna. It's the play of maya. There is no aham there, right? The whole thing enjoys me, but I am totally free of that. Totally free means I'm not engaging. I just simply am. And this whole play is taking place, but because the sattva is there in your sense organs and in your mind, that ahankara that says, I am this, and this is my body, and my body does this, and this is my prana, and my prana does this, you know? That's just absolutely natural, but actually what it is the prana is doing that, and the body is doing that, the karmendriyas are doing that, but the ahankara takes me to be that because I reflect consciousness. The sattva reflects consciousness. The chair has no problem, you know? This is just tamas from its own standpoint. It exists tamas and rajas but that's from the standpoint of Ishvara, you know. This is even known from the standpoint of Ishvara. We have to talk a little bit more about that. But the sattva guna goes through the whole creation, as does the rajo guna, as does the tamo guna. The whole thing, the whole prakriti, is a display of sattva, rajas, and tamas for the jivas. Because there is the sattva, which is kind of sequestered, you know, the sattva is sequestered in your tamas body, you know. The mind is not like Ishvara's mind, which is the whole sattva going through the entire upadi. Your mind goes through your body and out your sense organs. Your sattva, right, it goes in the body through the sukshma sharira, through the sense of touch, and then out the sense organs and your thoughts and your mind. So yours is limited. Your experience is limited. Your knowledge is limited. You don't have an infinite vritti, right? It's limited by the individuality of your body, mind, sense organs. So you're not going to have the same experience as Ishvara, but it's the same prakriti. It's the same prakriti as Ishvara. So he says, so the jnani, realizing this, all the plays of the play of all of the gunas, he says, na sajjate. He is not attached. There is no binding desire. Because there's no identification with it, and there's no reason to seek out after ananda when I am the ananda. I think one of the main important things, this is why understanding the difference between me and Ashantavritti. If I take myself to be Ashantavritti, then I am part of the prakriti, right? So I have to create these shantavrittis to be me. That's what it amounts to. And that's where people get hung up. I need these shantavrittis. I need ati sukshma, extremely subtle shantavrittis, you know, in order to be liberated. But the shantavritti is maya. It's prakriti. And so how is that going to help? And prakriti, by its nature, is continually changing. So there's no such thing as a permanent shantavritti. It's always going to be changing in this way and in this way and this way and this way, that way. Just I don't have all of these reactions because I'm not asking the creation to make me happy. I'm also not asking it to give me a shantavritti. I'm not asking anything of it. I'm just taking everything as prasada buddhi, enjoying Bhagavan. Myself, because my mind isn't creating a lot of turmoil for myself, I just sit there enjoying myself, letting the creation take place. this body, mind, sense organs, sattva, rajas, tamas, the five elements, are in a play, in a dance with the rest of the creation. And so I let that dance take place, not for jnani. There's nothing to ask the creation for, unless I want Bhagavan to change, just for me, you know. Change my prarabdha, or make all of these people like me in a particular way that I need them all to like me. That used to be my problem. So what would you say? Because I was in a managerial administrative position. Ah, very tough. So anyway, you'd always say, keep everybody outside. Keep them, give them their space. It's like saying, let prakriti be prakriti. You know, everybody has their issues, everybody has their prakriti, everybody is part of this dance, you know. Let it be. Let them be, you know. Give them space. Give them space to be as they are. You just keep to yourself. It's a very beautiful advice, but it's something that you have to learn, because we are so entangled. And why are we entangled? Because everything that we take to be ourselves is entangled. It is entangled. It's a play of the gunas. It's completely entangled. He asked the dream character, don't be entangled in the dream. But they are the dream. They are the dream. So how are they not going to be entangled in the dream? You know? And everything they know about themselves is the dream. It just, it happens, the dream happens to enjoy existence, which it also takes to belong to the dream. It happens to enjoy ananda, which it takes to belong to the dream. It happens to know, to belong, to enjoy consciousness, which also belongs to the dream in terms of the sattva, rajas, and tamas, right? So how is it going to know? How on earth will it know, you know, that it's mithya and I'm satyam? How will it know that? It has no means of knowledge to know it. That's why, that's what the Upanishad is. The Upanishad is considered beginningless. It comes with the creation. It holds up a mirror for the mumukshu, who has figured out that there's something they need to know now. Things are not good. I have run into this terrible dilemma that things are not working as they should because they cannot work. That's the dilemma. They're not working as they should because they can't. No possibility. That time Bhagavan brings you. You figured it out. Very good. Very good. I am so proud of you that you have figured this out. Here. Here's a new Upanishad. You'll be fine. Okay, so we'll continue on this. It takes too long to do it all in one session. It's too boring. Not boring exactly. I should have a big board that I can write all these relationships up. We'll do more in each class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.